The reading for this week is from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Here ends the reading. Well, today for our meditation, I'm going to do something that I don't believe I've ever done before. And when I tell you what it is, you could very well be surprised that it's something that you've never been asked to do before. You just heard me read from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. What I want to ask you to do now is to imagine those words in the ears of Jesus. I want you to imagine that you are Jesus as you hear those words. Specifically, I would like you to imagine that you are a 12-year-old Jesus. You're in the temple sitting with the elders. Part of you is nervous because you don't know where your parents are. Part of you is afraid because your parents don't know where you are. But part of you is strangely thrilled to find yourself in the gathering of people who are taking you seriously. You're 12 years old, and one of the elders takes up the scroll of Isaiah and reads these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As you imagine a 12-year-old Jesus hearing those words, imagine that like a tuning fork, when he heard those words, something inside of him stirred. They sounded right. They sounded like words for him. What if not only in that moment, but what if in those words, God laid out the purpose of Jesus' life before him? To bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn. What if, in those words, Jesus discovered his purpose? I remember one time, I don't remember the exact day, but I do remember it was It was the spring of my seventh grade year in school. And my mom and my sisters and I had begun attending this church the previous summer. It's a small church in the heart of my hometown. Wooden building, very, very plain. We're all sitting on metal folding chairs. And I remember looking up and seeing Pastor Bo as he spoke to the congregation. And I remember in that moment having a sense, someday that's what I'm going to do. It was a fleeting thought. I didn't give it much thought after that. Matter of fact, for a long time I forgot. But I remember it, and I remembered it again today, thinking about those words from Isaiah ringing in Jesus' ears. This is your purpose. I know we're just a week away from celebrating the birth of Jesus. And for some strange reason, it seems to me that it's easy for us to imagine the baby Jesus. We do it every year. But it isn't often that we imagine Jesus as a young boy or as a young man. All those years of his life that the Gospels don't mention. How did he come to realize his purpose, his mission? Did he always know? Or did it gradually dawn on him? Did he just keep on following his heart, trusting that God was with him, doing the next right thing? Did he have a deep sense, not only that God was with him, but that those words from Isaiah had been planted deeply in his being? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me. And now I want you to fast forward. Now Jesus is older. The tradition says that he's 30 years old, but the exact number of years don't matter. He's older now. What matters is what happens that day in the synagogue. Jesus is invited to come to the front of the room and to speak to the people. You can find the story in the fourth chapter of Luke. As he comes forward, he asks the elders present there to give him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And then when he gets to the front, he unrolls the scroll very specifically to the passage that he has chosen that day to read. And then he begins. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. And all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This wasn't a new idea for Jesus. It was the moment that he had been waiting for, the moment he had been preparing for, the moment that he had been sent for. But the surprise is how the crowd reacted. He didn't get a bunch of attaboys at the end of his message. As a matter of fact, this is what happened to him. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting run out of town by an unruly mob who threaten your very life? Put yourself in Jesus' shoes. That's how his long imagined ministry began. But the one thing that Jesus was convinced of is that though God's people might reject him, he knew that God would never reject them. And he knew that God would always be with because he knew that God had chosen him. And he knew that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And because he knew that he had been sent into the world with a purpose to usher in a new kingdom of freedom and forgiveness and love and inclusion and peace. He knew that God would never abandon him. He would never forget the words of Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Later, the writer of John tells us that Jesus said to his disciples, I will not leave you orphaned. I will never abandon you. I'm coming to you. In a while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. There was a day when you too were given this same good news. Maybe you remember that day and maybe you don't. But trust that there was a day when your name was joined to God's name. When in your baptism, you too were chosen by God. You were anointed with oil. You were sent into the world to do good in Jesus' name. And no matter what happens along the way, no matter what hardships or challenges that life might send you, trust this, God will never forsake or abandon you. Remember, said Jesus, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. In Jesus' name, amen.